Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky. Heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy. Holy, the universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. To the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. To the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. To the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. Universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Good morning. Good to see you all today, to all that are here, and I think a lot on vacation, the way it looks yet, before school starts in a week and a half. But praise the Lord, it is a beautiful morning, and we are here to worship the Lord of all creation, our God and our Father. So welcome. Some announcements, of course, that I have to go over before we go on with our service. Just a couple things I'll call mention to in the bulletin. 2 weeks from today, which will be the 22nd of August, we will have at the end of the service, we'll have someone from the Gideons here that will just share for a couple minutes, and we'll receive a special offering for their ministry. It's probably been 2 years, I would say, since we've had someone here from the Gideons, so just be praying about that and how you might want to bless them, their ministry. Also, the More Volunteer Appreciation Social, which is this coming Saturday from 2 to 4 in the afternoon at Peace Church. You need to let either Melanie Wilcoxon or Jennifer Masterson know by tomorrow if you are coming so they can have an idea of a head count. Okay? So please remember to do that. I want to say a big thanks to everyone that has helped this last week on the floor project. We made great progress. The hallway in the Sunday school wing is all done, and the four north rooms are done. The cove base isn't on yet, but otherwise the tiles on the floor and about half of the social hall is done. So praise the Lord. Well, amen. Yes. It looks beautiful. We'll exit out through the into the narthex today. David, what do you have to say? Okay. If anyone has a remnant piece of carpet about 46 inches wide and 12 feet long, we're looking for that. It would go in where we put the tables in that room here off the social hall, so we can slide the tables on there. Okay. So we'll exit out this way. But you know, if you want to take a peek in there, you can. Just don't. You have to be careful where there's tile to cement on those edges there. That's the only thing. Okay. So thanks to everybody for that. Also, there is a table that was in one of the younger kids' classrooms that is very heavy, very heavy. It's sitting out on the lawn here, the north lawn of the church. It's got the bench around it. If you think you would like that, you can have it. So talk to probably David Herbolt or myself about that, if you would have need for that. Also, last Sunday night, I'm telling you what, if you were not here for the Garms family, you missed about half your life. I'll just say it that way. It was incredible. So we do have CDs, though, about five different CDs. They'll be in the library. They're not in there yet today, but they will be in the library if you want to check those out to listen to their music. It was quite amazing, and hopefully we'll get to have them back next year so you can all be here. We did have a good crowd, though, that night. It was great. So the rest of the announcements, I'll let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we do worship you in spirit and in truth. You are God Most High. You are the Ancient of Days. And we love you, Father, for all of your creation, the heavens and the earth, for all of the universe, and that you made this planet that we call Earth just right for us as human beings to live here, to love you and serve you and to walk with you as Enoch did. And yet we have it so much better because you live within us by the Holy Spirit of God. We commune with you every moment of every day. And so, Lord, as always, as we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, your name that is above every name, and we ask that you would move among us by the power of your Spirit as we are here to worship you, to lift up and exalt your name, as we are here to sit at your feet and listen to your word to us, the very living word of God. We thank you for this time in your presence together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our first hymn will be number 348. I'm not sure. Do we have the words there? Okay. Let's stand together. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5, which should come on the screen. My Savior's Love. Okay.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and awesome shall ever be. How wonderful is
Yes, it is. Well, take a moment and greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Okay, good to see everyone here this morning on a beautiful day. I have some things written down. First, Lee Guth Miller would like to express thanks for all your prayers and cards during his recovery time from the broken leg. He's been working hard here this week, giving directions and on the floor too, making sure everything's going well. So we pray for his continued healing in that. Also, the Mad Frogs won their first game at State, and so did Lesterville, both. So Mad Frogs play tonight about, well, scheduled, I think, 7:30, but probably means 8 or 8:30. So if you want a late night, then, right, Caleb, then go on up to Mitchell and watch them. I have a funeral tomorrow morning, so I won't be there. Sorry. So we pray for them to do well. On that note, of course, Darlene Heckenleibel, her memorial service is tomorrow morning at the funeral home here in Menno at 10 o'clock. Again, that would have been Verna Zabe's sister and is Glenn Heckenleibel's sister. So we certainly have a big praise the Lord for Mark Ulmer, Cindy's husband, who was caught in a grain bin this last, was it Tuesday or what day was it? Monday. Yeah, so thankfully, he is still with us. We all know how dangerous that can be when someone's caught in a grain bin, but they were able to, had to cut open the side to get him out. But thank goodness for that. Let's see, Trevor and Nicole Monkfold, a new little baby girl for them this last week, Tuesday. Her name is Evelyn Lee. Evelyn, I think Trevor said, was his probably great-grandmother's name. Grandma or great-grandma, and Lee is Nicole's middle name. So Evelyn Lee. Let me see. Also, I had a text this morning saying that Melanie Walter had a big birthday coming next week, Sunday. She's not going to be here. So happy birthday. I didn't know you were going to be 60. That's right, you're younger than me, aren't you? Okay, happy birthday, Melanie. Yes, anything else over here? Amen. Thanks to the firefighters and EMTs for getting out there to that grain bin and for all that you do always in the community and beyond. You're a wonderful blessing. Can I announce about? Yeah, okay. Logan Schmidt got word this week that he is accepted into the Navy. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's been waiting on that, but in God's time, and was it November 30th when you'll go off for training and to the wild blue yonder, huh? Yeah, he's doing full-time Navy, right, is the plan. Yeah, so praise the Lord. That's awesome, Logan. We're excited for you, and we will be praying for you. Over here. Okay. All right. Well, let us pray then. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, we just rejoice in your goodness in so many ways. Look, to Mark and Cindy Ulmer and Tyler and the Jessica and family, what often we know can be fatal, but thank you for your mercies upon this family, your mercies to Mark that are new every morning. Thank you for the help that came to get him out and all those that serve as EMTs and fire department and first responders. We pray your blessing upon them, and we're so thankful for the services that they do provide to our community and beyond, and our police force too. We thank you for our police officers across this nation in a time where they often have get hit very hard, but we are so very proud of them all, and we thank you for their service. As well, for Logan Schmidt, a desire you've put on his heart, Lord, to serve our nation full-time in the Navy. And we just rejoice with the family that the answer that came this week, it's been a long wait, it seems, but we rejoice and we pray for these months in between here now when before he goes off to basic training. And thank you for just blessing him and his desire to serve our nation in this way. And Father, we, as always, we pray for our troops around the world that are serving more than our country. We pray for those that are here at home and those that are abroad. We ask you to keep them safe and their families safe. Give your angels charge over them, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for Trevor and Nicole Mungfold. We rejoice with them at the birth of their little baby girl, Evelyn Lee. Thank you for a healthy little girl that you've given to them. And Father, for others in the congregation here who are here today and some who aren't, but with little ones that you are knitting together in their womb, so beautifully, fearfully, and wonderfully made, as your word says, we pray for the remaining time of their pregnancy. We pray for that time when the delivery comes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for watching over them all in your goodness. For birthdays, Melanie's being mentioned, and we thank you for her and Jai and the blessing that they are to us. Thank you for watching over them and giving her many more years, we pray. Lord, you know the need for rain. You're the one who gives it. And we certainly need it. We lift it up to you. You tell us to seek and knock and ask. And so by faith we trust you, Lord. We trust you for your provision of the life-giving rain that is so desperately needed. And we thank you by faith, according to your time and your will and purposes. Help us, Lord, not to just get our eyes on the forecast alone, for you are far greater than that. And you are certainly well able to arrange the clouds and the patterns and bring the moisture even when it's not in the forecast. And we trust you for that. We ask you to be with our town team, the baseball game tonight. We enjoy that and enjoy watching them, and just bless them, Lord, with the abilities and talents that you put within them. Help them to play to the very best of those abilities this evening, we pray. For our nation, thank you, Father, for the work that you are always doing. You are sovereign over all, and we trust you in it. When things seem so upside down in many ways, it is in your time and your will and according to your way that you bring about revival to this land. Lord, as we look over the history of our nation, it's often through very difficult, hard times that revival is birthed out of that. And so we pray for that outpouring of your Spirit as earnestly as we pray for the natural rain. All the more we ask for the spiritual rain upon this land. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Genesis, we'll be back there today with Isaac. Genesis 26:12, this is from the Amplified Bible. There was a time when they were in drought. They were in the land of Canaan before it was ever the land of Israel, and they were in famine and drought. And God tells Isaac, go down to this place called Gerar, which was in Philistine territory, and there I will bless you. And so the verse, when they were down there, it says, then Isaac planted seed in the land as a farmer, and reaped in that same year 100 times as much as he had planted. And the Lord blessed him and favored him. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Times when we might be in a drought, whether it's a natural drought as we're in, or whether it's a spiritual drought, that you are always our source and our provider. And we trust you in that. And we thank you for it as we bring our offerings and our tithes into your storehouse, sowing as seed into your kingdom. And we thank you for your provision. You are the faithful one. And let us and help us to be good stewards of the blessings that you give us, that we use them for your glory and your honor in all the decisions of our life. In Jesus' name. Father, we confess together now our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and if the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Thank you. Good morning, boys and girls. Hello. Good morning. You're quiet. Well, how are you doing? Good. Well, I'm excited to see you today. And you know that Pastor Mike has been talking all about faith, by faith, and what faith is, and in faith. What do you remember? What do you think faith is? Faith is believing God, even when we don't see it, right? And it starts off in here in Hebrews 11, by faith, who do we believe made the world? God did. By faith, right? And by faith, I'll just read down some. Remember Enoch? Remember he was the one that walked with God? Do you remember? And by faith, what happened to him? He was taken up to heaven, right? He didn't have to die, remember? And by faith, what did Noah do?
He built a boat,
right? Because who told him to?
God
did. And by faith, he did it. And it talks about, remember Abraham?
Yeah.
Remember what did God tell him to do? Move away and follow him. And then remember by faith when he was really, really old and Sarah was really old, what did they have?
A kid.
They did. And his name was
Isaac,
right? Yes. And we find out all of that. And then when we get down to verses 20 and 21, which Pastor Michael talked about, it says, by faith, Isaac, when he grew up, he had kids, Jacob and Esau, and he blessed them. He blessed them. And then by faith, at 21, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed Joseph's sons. So there's something about that blessing. What do you think Do you think your parents ask God to bless you? Do they pray for you? You think so? And ask God to bless you? I think so too. And these are some things that remind me of them doing that. Like, I think that they ask God, this is your heart. They ask God to give you a heart, a kind heart, a loving heart, and a heart that causes our mouth to speak good things and kind things and to be nice. They ask God to bless you and to help you to do that. And I think God, your parents ask God to protect you. This is a what?
Helmet.
Helmet. Why do we wear it?
To protect our
when we write. So I think your parents ask God, protect my daughter and son. Protect you guys when you go out and play and when you work and help on the farm, when you swim. They ask God to protect you. And I think this too, this is a what?
Backpack.
I know, it's coming soon, isn't it?
But
it's exciting because you're going to be in a new grade. Well, I think when you go to school or preschool or whatever you go to, God asks, your parents ask God to bless you, to help you to learn, to help you to be smart, to help you to do well. Do you think that they do that? I think they do. And then, what's this? It's a little one. It's a Bible. I think your parents pray that you boys and girls would love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and that you would be hungry for Him and want to pray to Him and want to follow Him all your lives. Do you think your parents do that? I think they do, and they ask God to bless you in faith, and we do too, okay? All right, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for so many examples in the Word of God of people that acted in faith and that they asked you to bless them and bless their children. And that's what we ask too, that you bless these boys and girls and all the ones that aren't here today, that you help them to love you, to be kind to others, to do well in all that they do and to protect them and many other things. Help these boys and girls hunger and thirst after you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. You can get your papers. Jennifer's going to help us today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Anne. We'll sing number 83. There's something about that name. We'll sing it through twice. Something about that name. Yes, there is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, conquering death, resurrected from the grave, seated at your right hand, Heavenly Father, that at the name of Jesus, as your word says, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And thank you for giving us the privilege of using your name in prayer. Thank you for giving us the privilege of using your name, Jesus, against all the forces and powers of darkness in this world. For as your word says, even Satan himself trembles at the mention of your name, Jesus. And so, Lord, we look into your word once again. We thank you for it. We thank you for speaking to our hearts and minds by your Spirit. And I ask that you'd speak through me, Father, by the Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Today, I'm just going to read three verses, actually. Verse 20, 21, and 22. We've come this far. Verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. That's where we'll stop today. We're only going to be looking at Isaac, but they were yet, when Joseph died, they were still 300 years in the land of Egypt. And they carried that box of bones out into the promised land. Pretty amazing, isn't it? So Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, we've been on Abraham actually 3 weeks, and my goodness, we could spend, I'm sure, half a year on Abraham, and so much on each of these. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, those are the patriarchs, as we call them. They're obviously direct descendants of Abraham. They, in these three verses, as we read, they trusted God by faith for the future, things they never saw. And they are marked as men who demonstrated their faith in the face of death. That's what all three of these, if you read it again, in the face of death, of their dying days. I've had numerous times over the years, and this is not a bad thing, but some, you know, as they're in the dying process and they know that, and they'll say to me, comments like, I hope I'm ready, or I hope the Lord takes me, or do you think the Lord will take me to heaven? And what my answer always is, do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Is he in your heart? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior and you confessed him as such? Yes. Then he will take you home to himself. Well, I don't know if I've been quite good enough. Yeah, I say, you know what? It has nothing to do with your goodness, because you cannot earn your way there, no matter how good you think you might be. It is all about what Jesus did for you at the cross and you receiving that and him, and heaven is your home. So these, as they were dying, they were speaking about the future by faith. Now, when you don't have to raise your hand on this question that I'm going to ask. Is there any worriers here? Some of you might think, I can tend to be a world champion worrier. Well, what do you worry about most? The past? Or the future? The future, right? Normally it is the future. Yeah, we regret things of the past that we've done, certainly. We probably are bothered about things of the past. But where worry comes in usually is with things of the future. Faith is oriented to the future, and faith is the opposite of worry, actually. The man that founded where we went to school, seminary, the minister, he's not living now, but he would often say that his wife said about him, "You don't worry about anything, do you?" He's like, "Why worry? What good does that do?" "Well, you wouldn't worry if your son got in an accident or whatever." "Well, why worry? It's in God's hands," he would always say. Faith is oriented towards the future, and we trust God with it. That's how Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 started out. How many weeks ago? 2 months ago, I'm sure. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for." That's future, isn't it? "And certain of what we do not see." That's future. "This is what the ancients were commended for." Who are the ancients? All these guys we've been looking at in Hebrews chapter 11. They were commended for their faith. Were they perfect? They were far from perfect. As we look on in this today, and really a good assignment would be to start in about Genesis chapter 22 and read through chapter 27 this afternoon if you have time to get the full picture of Isaac and Rebekah. Because how can I read through? I could read through all that, and that would be a sermon in itself, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would take a long time. But I'm not going to read through all that today. See, faith is always based on God's word. Last week, when we talked about Abraham and God told him, "You need to sacrifice your son Isaac, your only son who you love," that was God's word, and he had God's word of the promises that he would have a land, the promised land, that he was going to make of them a great nation, that through him the Messiah was going to come. He had those promises that was going to happen next through Isaac and then down the line. And so when they go up to Mount Moriah, which is Jerusalem, and he goes, the servants went with him so far, and then he takes the wood for the fire, puts it on Isaac's back. Abraham takes the fire, what's needed for that, and he tells the servants, "You stay here. We are going to go up there and worship, and we will come back." Now that was faith talking. Faith is not positive thinking. "Oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay," you know, based on nothing. No, Abraham had God's word to say that on. He had God's word to base his faith upon. "We are going to go over there and worship, and we are going to come back." Because what we saw last week was Abraham knew that if God had to, he was going to raise Isaac from the dead. That's how strong his faith was at that point. So as we start in this here, Isaac, that's your number one blank if you're filling those in. Isaac, Hebrews 11:20, once again, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future." All right, we're going to see when he did that. But I want to, letter A, let's look at some examples of Isaac's faith, and that ties in, of course, with Abraham's faith. So instead of reading all of those chapters under this, I'm just going to try and do a quick recap of the main events that happened. In chapter 22 of Genesis, which we were on last week, God tests Abraham and he gives this lesson of faith to Isaac. Remember how old I said they think Isaac could have been? From 18 to 20 years old, all the way up to 37. Now that's quite a broad gap, but scripture doesn't tell us specifically how old Isaac was when Abraham laid him on that altar. But he had to at least be 18 years old for sure. Now he knew what was going on. How old was Abraham by this point? Let's say if Isaac was 18, that made Abraham how old? 118, yes. Get the wheels rolling here. 118. So now he lived to 175, Abraham did, but Isaac would have been a very strong young man at 18. Probably could have wrestled his father down and said, "You are not tying me on that thing," right? But he obeyed and he trusted. What a faith example there to see how God answered and provided the ram in the thicket. He saw that. If we go to 23, chapter 23, this is when Sarah, Abraham's wife Sarah, dies. They are in the promised land before it ever really is the promised land, if that makes sense. Okay? And he's promised that land. And it is at this point, chapter 23, if you read it, where he asks the Hittites, they're living there, he goes to them and says, "Will you please just sell me a burial plot, a plot of land for me to bury my wife in? Well, what would you like?" "I would like that land where there's that cave called Machpelah." That's a rough pronunciation of it, but that's how I'll say it. And so they're like, you have been a blessing to us. You know, we'll just give it to you. No, I am going to pay you for it. And so eventually, the back and forth, 400 shekels of silver, about 10 pounds of silver. And that becomes the only piece of land, that little burial plot in the promised land that Abraham ever owns, that's passed down to Isaac, that he ever owns, that's passed down to Jacob, that they ever own. In all of the promised land, when God says, "I'm giving you all this," they had the promise of the land, they had the promise of becoming a great nation, they had the promise of the Messiah coming through their lineage. And of course, he did, and the land became theirs too. So in verse 13 of Hebrews 11, it says, all these people, while they were still living by faith, they were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, that I just mentioned. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. How does it work for us? What, we are trusting in heaven. Have you seen heaven? No, you have not seen heaven. Do you believe it's there? I hope so. I sure hope you do, because it is there. And Jesus is awaiting us. Your loved ones are awaiting you who've gone on before, who knew Christ as Lord and Savior. So we see it from afar by faith, right? So chapter 24, this is when there's instructions given for getting a bride for Isaac. He's a young man now. Again, we're seeing yet this Abraham is living out these examples of faith before his son. That's important. As parents, as grandparents, that is very important that we live that out. You could probably all tell things, you young adults and older adults, but there's things that stick out in your mind of faith. And one that I remember is I was maybe 10 years old. And our vacations were always at our grandparents in southeast Nebraska. That's just where we went for a week, week and a half, whatever it was. Both grandparents lived within 10 miles of each other down there. And we were there once, and there was a big storm. My grandpa Hunziker, so my mom's side, they went to a country church called St. John's Reformed Church. That's where we always went as kids on Sunday morning. And there was a storm that came through. We were at my grandparents. Phone call came to my grandpa. Lightning hit the church. It has burnt to the ground. It was not a large church. Would have been like Ebenezer, Saron, that size of a church. So we get in the car and we go out there. It's near dark. Had rained. It was burnt down. It didn't take long for that to happen. And it's so much like these churches here, because that was the Hunziker church, the 10 brothers, you know, and that's where they all went until they moved away. And there they were talking. I'm just listening. I'm only a boy. What are we going to do? And my grandpa says, "We're going to rebuild. That's what we're going to do." And that has stuck in my head from that day until this, of his faith. And there's things, so it's important as we do this. I can remember many times when we're visiting there on vacation, after supper, there's my grandpa, because he would teach Sunday school. They're sitting around the table, us kids are goofing around, but you know how the kids are still listening even when they're goofing around, right? And my grandpa would ask my dad's questions about the Sunday school morning, Sunday school lesson the next morning. Again, one thing I remember, well, who was Melchizedek? Why do those things stick in my head? I don't know. I can remember it as if it happened yesterday. Was he a man, really a man, or was he just a type? He was a type of Christ. I won't go into that. I believe he was a man. Anyway, lessons of faith. When Abraham tells his servant, you need to go back to the land of our relatives up there at Haran, remember? And you find a wife there for Isaac. And the servant's like, what? What if I go and she doesn't come back with me? Or how am I going to know who it is? And Abraham says this, I'm sure Isaac is listening. God will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. Faith. He's seeing it. We go, so it happens that you got to read that on your own. I'm not going into all that. We come to chapter 24, verse 63. Here we see Isaac's faith in action. This is before the servant was bringing the bride, Rebekah, back. And it says this, Isaac went out, 24, verse 63. Isaac went out to bow down in prayer in the field in the early evening. He was going out there, other translations say, to meditate. See, he had picked up this practice. He had been taught it, the importance of prayer. And he raised his eyes and looked, and camels were coming. And that was his bride. So they get married. Isaac's 40 years old when he marries Rebekah. They wait 20 years and have no baby. So he's 60 now. How long did Abraham and Sarah have to wait for Isaac? How many years? 25, right. Because Rebekah was barren. So if we go to chapter 25 of Genesis, you'd see this. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, wrestling, right? She's like, whoa, what is going on in my womb? I don't know. There's sure a lot of activity in there. And what did she do? She inquired of the Lord. That's prayer. Why is this happening to me? This was a regular pattern of their lives. Chapter 25, here's God's answer. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Wow, that's amazing. And two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other. And here it is, and the older will serve the younger. Now that was totally opposite to their culture of that day. Way opposite, because it was always the blessing went to the firstborn. Esau was the firstborn. Jacob was the secondborn as they came out. So on it goes. Jacob sort of steals that birthright from his brother Esau. I'm not going into all that. Chapter 26, there's this famine in the land. I read that verse there for the offering. But in chapter 26, now you see God coming to Isaac, and he's restating that promise of the covenant that he made to Abraham. What there's so much in that. They doubted. Faith doesn't mean that you never have doubts. Doubts are going to come. Did I hear you right, Lord, on this? I thought you told us to do this and this and this, and boy, it sure seems like this is not going with your blessing on it. He doesn't say there's not going to be hard times where he's put you at. How many times when I was with the Navajos in those years, especially before Ann and I were married, I was there 5 years as a single guy. There was more than once I was like, Lord, I think I missed it here. I think I missed it. Thank goodness in school they drilled into us all the time. When you go out into ministry, and I'm saying to whatever phase, especially you young ones of life that you go into, don't be led by your emotions. They told us that again and again. Don't be led by your emotions. When you go off in the Navy, there's going to be rough times. It's just how it is. Don't be led by your emotions. Then what? Be led by the Holy Spirit of God who's within you. Be led by him. Because you know how your emotions are? They can be like this, right? This roller coaster. One day, whoa, God is good all the time. The next day, it's like, oh, where are you, Lord? Can't be led by the emotions. God's word does not change. All right. End of 26, chapter 26, we see Isaac building an altar to the Lord for worship. Okay, letter B. Let's get to that. Let me read Hebrews 11, 20 once more. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. So, letter B, trusting God with your children's future. This is for us as parents and grandparents too. As the years go on, and I was told this when, as a young man when the kids were little, but, you know, I was told, you know, they're always your kids. You're always going to be concerned about them, and it's true. Even when they're young adults, it's true. Very true. We trust God with their future, right? So what do we see if we read through this fully with Jacob and Esau? Isaac and Rebekah were playing favorites with those two boys. And that is not how it's supposed to work. Who did Isaac love most? The scripture even says Esau. Yeah, Esau. Isaac's favorite was Esau. He was the hunter. He'd go out, get the wild game, the deer, the antelope, the elk, and bring it back like you guys do, cook it up. And oh, Isaac loved that. Jacob, on the other hand, the younger one, he stayed, it says, by the tents, more with his mother, Rebekah. She loved him more. Isaac loved Esau more. They were playing favorites, which ended up getting them in trouble. We need to love, and I think we try to do that as parents. We try to love our kids equally the same. Sure, depending on their age, there's certain things, levels of responsibility and that. We all understand that. But in chapter 27 now of Genesis, here we go. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. Here I am, Esau answered. Isaac said, I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now, he might have thought he was dying. You think of what the medical science was at that point. Well, they knew all the natural remedies, that's for sure. They had to. So he lived past this point, he very likely lived easily another 30 years. But he thought at this point, his time was getting near. Isaac actually lived to be 180 years old. That's from Scripture. So he calls Esau, the older son, says, so I think the day of my death is getting close. Go get your weapons, your quiver and your bow. Go out to the open country, hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food and bring it to me. Whatever your favorite wild game is. Listen to the rest of the verse. So that I may give you my blessing before I die. Isaac saying this to Esau, the older son. So that brings some questions. Was Isaac not aware of the prophecy that God spoke to Rebekah when they were in her womb? The older is going to serve the younger? Was he not aware of that? The scripture doesn't fully tell us these answers. Did Rebekah not tell her husband about that? Of course, at that time, you know, and how the wife would probably not have said much at all as how the culture was back then. Did she not tell him? Did he not believe her if she did tell him? I don't know. Was he deliberately disobeying God? I don't think so, because it wouldn't tell us in verse 20 then that by faith he blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. These are all things. Or was he acting in ignorance? We don't know. But what we do know is Isaac fully believed the promise that God had given and spoken to Abraham about the land being a great nation, the Messiah coming through their line. He believed that. And he was going to give that blessing, and he did. What we do know also here, if we read on in the story, is Isaac and Rebekah were both taking matters into their own hands. Taking matters into their own hands. How many times do we do that when we think God is way too slow, not moving as fast as he should move, so we better help him out? And it led to deception, bad deception. And that deception, which leads to lies, led to anger and resentment in the family, and we'll get into that in a second. But so, you know, remember Rebecca's plan? She overhears Isaac telling Esau this, get this meal, I'm going to give you the blessing. She hears it. She goes to Jacob, tells him, okay, look, you need to go to the herd. Got to get two young goats. Bring them here. I'm going to prepare them just the way your dad likes them so you can get in there with that meal before your brother Esau gets back with his wild game and you can get the blessing that is supposed to be yours. You see sort of Jacob's heart in this, because his first answer is this in chapter 27. What if my father touches me? Remember, Esau was this hairy guy, very hairy, red hair. And Jacob was smooth. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him. Jacob was like, I don't know about this, Mom. And I would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Ooh, that's dangerous. Just do what I say. Go and get him for me. So he does. Comes in, brings it to dad. And I'm not going to read the whole account that's in chapter 27. He comes in. Isaac said, who is it? Jacob answered, I am Esau, your firstborn. Lie. They go on in this conversation. Isaac's like, well, you know, it's the voice of Jacob, but, you know, he's feeling him. They took that goat's hair and put it on his neck and his arm, and so he'd be all hairy when he goes in there. Remember that? And Isaac asks him again, are you really my son, Esau? I just think if you were in that spot, boy. I am, he says. And it says when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, because Mom had got some of Esau's clothes, put them on Jacob, he blessed him. He blessed him. That deception, it's never good. I was thinking about, you know what, a couple years ago, it was all over the news that time when some of these wealthy Hollywood actors, it came out they were paying off these colleges to get their kids into these prestigious universities. It was made known, wasn't it? And how did those kids feel? Here, they thought they had earned their way in, and all along they find out Mom and Dad paid off the university. make you feel terrible. That is not trusting God with your kids' future. Things like that are not. Let her see the blessing. Got to get moving here. So he blesses him. And that's in chapter 27, the end. I'm not going to read all the blessing, just part of it. But here it is. As Isaac is speaking this over Jacob. Yeah, that's who it was supposed to come to. But they had to take matters into their own hand. Mom and Dad did. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. And then if you go into chapter 8, there's a further pronouncement of that blessing. So here comes Esau in after Jacob leaves, and Isaac's like, who is this? Remember, he can't see. It's Esau, your firstborn. I've got the meal. You know what the scripture says? Isaac trembled violently. Violently. Who was it then that hunted the game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came in. Listen to this part. I blessed him, and he will be blessed. There was no taking it back. That's how serious these things were, this pronouncement of these blessings. All right, lastly, how bring it up to today. I'd hope to have a little more time on this. How do we bless our children? Well, if they're young and you're raising them, these should be very obvious things. We bring them up to know the Lord. Bring them up to know the Lord. It has to be all the more. You know, we're not living, as we all know, in the 1950s when that was just how it was. Everybody came and everybody brought their kids regularly, faithfully to church. And I've heard of the old building, all you talk about it, how packed that was and how packed that basement was with kids. Certainly we are blessed here, yes, with wonderful young families, many children and youth, and thank God for that. But it's not just here at church, it has to be at home. I mentioned early starting off those examples of faith that Isaac saw from his dad Abraham. Now again, they were far from perfect. I mean, when you read through some of this, you almost think, this is just like a soap opera going on here. Really, with the dysfunction and stuff. They were not perfect. But you know what? God used them, and they had a plan. He had a plan that was going to come to pass. Secondly, of course, pray for them, as Ann talked about here this morning. Don't just pray for them. Pray with them. So important. More than just meals. More than that. When Nathan was... He was 12 when Ann and I got married, right? They were 12. So he was middle school then, and we were on the reservation. Cameron went on the slow time. Even though we were on the reservation, the rest went on the fast time, as we called it. Because, you know, Arizona, the state, does not change time, so they stayed with the state. He would get on that bus. We had to get up like 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. And Ann and I would take turns, as I recall it. I was going to ask her, but getting up with him, getting his breakfast, and praying with him. And yeah, I was about like, okay, keep my eyes open for this prayer here. Not long, but we prayed with him. We did the same with Rachel. Before they went to school, every day, we had that prayer with them. It's important. Important to do that. 3, entrust them to the Lord. You know, as they live their lives, there's going to be stumbles, there's going to be falls, there's going to be disappointments. Thank God for his mercies every day. We just keep lifting them up. I put a name of a book in there. I thought it was in the library, but it's not. It's called The Power of a Praying Parent. There's prayers in there. Maybe you want to order that book. It's The Power of a Praying Wife, The Power of a Praying Husband. There's different ones. Pray for them. And that 4th is, yeah, discipline them. We have to discipline them. Don't we, kids? Can I hear an amen from the kids? We love you, and that's why we do that. We can't just let you have your own way. go your own way. The outcome is not good. It is not good at all. Okay. As we sing this last hymn here in a second or two, I want to read two other verses back earlier in Hebrews 11, verse 10. It says, "For Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." Already 4,000 years ago, he knew about this new Jerusalem that God spoke of, that we're still waiting for. He was looking forward to that. Verse 16 of Hebrews 11, it says this, "Instead they, these patriarchs, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." The first verse of this closing hymn, which sweet by and by, it says this, "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith, what? We can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way," that's heaven, "to prepare us a dwelling place there." Let's pray and then we'll sing this. Heavenly Father, so much in your word, there is so much there. How do we ever get through it? We never do. It's fresh to us every time we look into it, every time we hear it. Help us to live by faith the way these patriarchs did. As we live examples before our families, as we pray over our children, as we entrust them to you, their future. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand as we sing this, please. The Sweet By and By, 778. By faith we shall. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And we will sing today as a prayer for our nation. God bless America. God bless You may be seated. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music.